My name is Jeffrey Davis. That means this is Radio Entrepreneurs. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. Thank you for connecting to our social websites. Thank you for downloading our YouTube videos. I want to thank my team, too. They've done a great job. Ian Motha, our executive producer, and Chris Gerald. The videos get better every month, and I love seeing them. I was liking them this morning as I woke up. Some great videos, great content. Our next guest, we've had a lot of guests from this law firm on over the last few weeks, Bruce McNeil from the law firm of the Wagner Law Group, and we're going to talk today about you and executive comp, correct?
Yes.
Good. So tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, I've been doing executive compensation and deferred compensation for about 20 years. I got started when I was at Georgetown. I earned a law degree there and a Master's of English degree there at Georgetown. Then worked at the Treasury Department for several years, working in the qualified plan area, and realized that the qualified plan area was going to provide qualified retirement benefits for employees, but was probably not going to be sufficient for the executives of the companies. So I started doing some research on deferred compensation, and then after all the research I did, I developed a book out of the work that I did and brought the book to West Publishing and asked if they wanted to publish that book. They did, and I've written over 28 books since then.
I think you've written more books than Marcia.
I have.
Wow.
It's probably closer to 40.
Does she have book envy? I'm sorry.
Well, they make for good doorstops. They're fairly thick.
You mean they're
several
good
thousand
sleeping
pages.
Aids?
They are. Insomniacs would appreciate them greatly. They could spend a little time with them, and I think they might have a cure. But they serve as great resources for attorneys, accountants, actuaries, companies, you know, human resource folks. So along with the books, I also was asked to be editor-in-chief of the Journal of Pension Planning and Compliance. And I have done that for the last probably 25 years. And then along came the Journal of Deferred Compensation. Walters Kluwer developed that and wanted to know if I'd be the editor-in-chief of that as well. And I have been doing that for about 18 years, the entire life of that journal. So I've been doing this non-qualified plan work for all these years, and as a result of the writings that I do and the work that I do as editor-in-chief and the work that I do for clients, I was asked by the United States Senate Committee on Finance to testify as an expert witness during the Enron Corporation hearings regarding the executive compensation that the executives received even while Enron was going down
quite
badly.
Large salaries, if I recollect correctly.
Yes, they were for at least three, Fastoff, Skilling, and Ken Lay. And Ken Lay never survived to spend it, and the other two are serving in subsidized federal housing, so they're not spending it either.
Did they get it?
They, well...
Or was it taken away?
Well, it's hard to spend in federal subsidized housing with gray bars, but... They may. One of the questions during the hearings was from Senator Max Baucus, I guess. And he asked, the other person testifying was the Assistant Secretary of Treasury and the Chief of Joint Tax. And the question was whether or not the Assistant Secretary of Treasury knew where a couple of states were. They turned out to be islands in the West Indies for which we have no tax treaty. And we all thought it might be a good idea to have maybe a field trip just to see these places. But since we don't have a tax treaty with these islands, if you offshored money in these islands they're probably just banks and sand, then there's no way to almost find it. And even if you found it, there's no incentive for them to return it.
We can't get it.
We can't. No.
Uncle Sam can't get it unless you bring it back here.
Right. And there's no incentive for these guys to turn it over because that's how they make their money. They just get these bank accounts that are unknown.
You know, I have to ask you a question, and maybe it's just you made me think. I go to some islands and
then I was helpful today if you...
I get off the plane and I see, as I'm leaving the airport, I see Canadian banks everywhere. Is that part of... Is there some logic behind all of that? Why are all the Canadian banks on islands in the Caribbean?
Well, that's
I'm
right.
I'm not seeing Bank of America, and I'm not seeing, you know, all the American banks, but the Canadian, like Turks and Caicos, there are a few islands.
Yeah.
Is it because they're British islands, or what's going on?
Well, that might be one reason, the British islands, but the other might be if there's no tax treaty, they'd have some incentive, I guess, to be there.
Because they're stable.
Yes.
The banks, I mean.
The banks are stable. And those islands typically are, too. Cayman Islands are very stable. Most of the islands are. They know where the money is, and they know how to attract it. So they can establish their banking institutions. But the Canadians may also have a treaty with these islands, too, and set up banks there. And when other companies or banks don't have treaties, then they might not have the incentive to be there or not be there. So
when you went through the Enron hearings, did you have sleepless nights? Were you changed?
Not me. they were significantly. No, because I never represented Enron, so it wasn't me on a hot seat. I was just there to advise.
But what you saw, the compensation, the executive privilege, did that affect you at all in terms of, you know, how you see the world and how you decided to stay focused on executive comp?
Well, you do get a sense of reality and what greed can do. These folks had significant arrangements. They had arrangements where if they wanted to exercise stock options when they knew the company would be doing really well, because they were in control of the company and the brownouts in California and who got power and how it was distributed, they could exercise the stock options after they made an election to defer the gain on the stock options. So if they elected
like a little privilege going on there.
Yes. So they'd make an election about 6 months before the exercise to defer the gain. So if the exercise price was, you know, at $10 and the value of the stock was at $100, they could defer $90 to a future year and not pay current tax, but preserve the gain.
So, interesting.
And the other thing that they did really well was probably offshored money, but they could get money out if they got a haircut on the amount distributed. So instead of getting
taking out money and not paying taxes.
Well, they had to pay taxes, but they could get their money out, unlike the folks in the 401k plan, where there was no distribution event. So they had to leave their money in, and if their money was invested in Enron stock, it was going nowhere but down. So they lost all kinds of money. But these Enron executives, instead of getting $10 million, they could get $9 million. But they get $9 million and not zero. So taking a haircut preserved a lot of money for these folks.
That really is the definition of greed, because others were suffering as they were benefiting greatly.
Yeah, it goes with that, the saying, you know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. And so they just took too much. And they took too much from the company for themselves. And so that was a significant issue for the United States Senate. And as a result, the Senate passed a new code provision under Section 49, capital A, which deals directly with deferred compensation. So you can't get an accelerated distribution with a haircut. You can't defer the exercise of these stock options or restricted stock arrangements. And so a lot of what happened cannot be done really anymore. Or if you try to do it, it becomes very difficult and probably becomes a tax event. And the penalty for an executive, and it is imposed on the executive, is whatever is distributed and all of it is taxed at the highest rate plus 1% plus a 20% excise tax. So it's a significant penalty and it's imposed on the executive.
Well, in the short time we have left, I'm going to pretend we're at a party and we're just talking. No mics. We have a new administration coming in. And do you think there's still a little too much greed that's going to be looked at? Or is greed still prevalent in our corporate society today?
Well, what was also important was, from the senator's point of view, is people need to get rewarded for doing a good job.
What is the reward, though?
You get, if you're invested in the company and the company does well, you'll do well. Baseball players get paid if they perform well.
A lot.
They do. And movie actors get paid if they perform well. And if they serve a service and that is a reward to the company for which they work, then they should get paid. And executives, likewise. If they perform really well, the company does really well, the employees will do really well. And so...
But both should go hand in hand.
You should get rewarded for doing well.
It shouldn't be, I get rewarded and you don't.
Right. Yeah. That's the way it should come down.
Quid pro quo.
I guess in a sense. So that the workers would benefit from the company doing well. And so
it's funny, I grew up in a family business and my father taught me that my obligation, if I owned a business, was to my employees.
And it would be if your business does really well, makes a lot of money, you can reward your employees with more work and more pay.
But, that sometimes meant that employees made more than my father. It meant his obligation because he felt they were paying for kids to go to school, to go to college, to pay for mortgages, to pay their credit cards. And his obligation was to make sure that they could continue to do that.
Yeah, well, look at these baseball players that earn $250 million over their career. That's getting paid pretty well, but the team does well.
A lot better. Baseball teams make a lot of money. Football teams make a lot of money.
Yes.
Tom, interesting topics. I'd love to have you back again. I hope we can schedule you again. If somebody wants to find you, talk about executive compensation, rules around them, how would we find you?
Here at the Wagner Law Group. So we're on 99 Summer Street, and do you need a telephone number, email?
If your email would be the best.
Sure. It's just B. McNeil, McNeil, at WagnerLawGroup.com.
Great. Thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Great. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.